you're on the front porch. And this week, whether West Virginia should rejoin Virginia and become one uber Virginian state. We'll also discuss the road bond. It passed by a lot. What's going on there? And finally, Lori's greatest hits. Support for the Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest in news, traffic, and weather. Check it out at Google Play and iTunes. So I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director, Grand Poobah, here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, joined as always by our liberal friend from the American Friends Service Committee, Rick Wilson. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Lori Lind, our conservative columnist and host, doing her final episode as a Charleston native, at least, of the Front Porch. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
All right, let's start with the road bond. Passed. Passed by like 73%.
Passed big, yeah.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, I was very surprised. People I knew and respected were telling me that it would pass, and other people I also knew and respected were saying it wouldn't pass. I expected it to be closer, certainly, but I think, you know, the term landslide is not out of place here. It was huge.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the margin. I mean, it wasn't a huge turnout, which is what we knew would happen, but yeah.
There were a lot of folks on social media coming out afterwards and making that point that it was low turnout. They were upset about that, said it maybe should have been better promoted, or maybe it should have been held at a different time. What do y'all think about those arguments?
I think those of us who were really dialed into social media and following the back and forth might have just been a little bit fooled because there was so much opposition on Twitter and, you know, the lawmakers who were very opposed to it. I think those of us who kind of sat around thinking about it and looking at Twitter were really way off the mark here.
Also, there are some interesting news stories about it got kind of lively in the panhandle, I believe, between the governor and a couple Republican delegates up there.
Delegate Folk.
His new comrades.
Don't forget that at was a GOP executive committee meeting.
Right.
There was a unanimous vote of that group against supporting this road bond. And yet you had lots of people in the GOP supporting it, you know, the leadership of the Senate and the House. So who are the winners and losers?
Well, certainly Governor Justice, huge, huge win for him. I don't think you can say, you know, anything other than that. And the people who supported it, Mitch Carmichael, was as elated as the governor immediately after. Construction as a sector of the economy, I think, probably some firms are excited and gearing up and hopefully will have the capacity to actually do the work that's coming toward them.
Yeah, I don't think we can underestimate, like you said, Governor Justice's win here. He personally campaigned on this and it was his idea. I remember during the legislature, this was his baby from the very beginning. You could tell it was his top priority. He pushed it through. He got the taxes approved and then he got the road bond approved.
I mean, again, the governor's a big winner. I think the main people who probably lost are a few people who really put everything they had into defeating it, Delegate Folk and the Panhandle. And
Wood County Republican Committee did robocalls against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the substance then. Do you think this money will be spent wisely? Do you think it will have a stimulative effect on the economy?
I imagine there'll be a lot of scrutiny of this, and I'm pretty sure they're going to try to be transparent with the spending. I would really like to see serious scrutiny and accountability to see how many of these jobs are locally, you know, based and sourced. I would have liked to see more guarantees with that going into it. But again, obviously we need some road work.
Yeah, Brian Hoyleman of the Contractors Association had a good op-ed earlier this week saying the thing we should probably do is try to spend it maybe a little bit on the slow side, which would allow more West Virginians to get these jobs and allow us to be more deliberate in thinking about how we're doing these things.
Yeah, if you do it all at once, it might kind of be like a sugar high. I mean, I'd like to see sort of a sustained, deliberate effort here, but I guess we'll see how that rolls out.
So, from Porchians, Rick, Lori, and I are asking you to participate in our Listen, Sustain, Protect campaign and stand for what you believe in, which includes the sort of civil conversation you hear on the front porch.
So I have to admit, I do listen to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, especially the news programs and the talk programs, which you've done more of since you've come back. So way to go on that.
So you do listen?
I do listen, totally.
All right. And when I say sustain to you, Lori, what do you think about?
having something that is here now that we enjoy having it here in the future for not only us, but for our kids, for people who are coming after us. So certainly seeing that, you know, the institution is able to endure not just this year or next year, but into the future down the road.
And then we say protect because it cost us, and we've done some numbers, some math around here, $2.2 million just to provide the TV and the radio signals across this very rural mountainous state. That's a lot of money. And we get some help from the state government from that, but less than we used to. More than ever, when people stand up and they not just listen, but they sustain us with their sustaining gift, it is protecting the service and making sure that's available to everybody. So make your pledge of support, if you could, to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, a sustaining pledge at 800-RADIO-87, or you can pledge online at wvpublic.org. So I listen.
I sustain.
I protect.
That's kind of lame.
How much did you pay somebody to come up with this whole three-pronged thing?
It was all me.
Oh, you did. Well, okay. Well, there you go. It was free. Get what you pay for.
Listen, sustain, protect. Thanks. Okay, moving right along, we're going to discuss whether West Virginia should rejoin Virginia as a state. You know, we're born in the Civil War. And we had some grievances before that about being ignored by Richmond. So we're our own state. We have been for a while. And yet, was that a good decision for us in the long run? Would it be better if our future was tied up with the more wealthier state? Maybe we'd get more resources. Maybe our universities would have more money.
Maybe you'd be out of a job, Scott, unless you could conquer your Virginia counterpart. Game of Thrones.
Hey, don't make this personal.
Broadcasting.
That was unnecessary. What do you think, Lori? As someone who's from Virginia, came to West Virginia, moving back to Virginia, what do you think?
Well, it's a really, really interesting thought experiment. And something that I've often thought of is looking at the border counties, say down in southwestern Virginia, southern West Virginia, squarely in Appalachia, all of them historically relied on coal for their economies, and just trying to kind of pinpoint the differences that you could attribute to state government. And I never did the research on that. I never really looked deeply into it, but I think that would be an interesting empirical way to look at the issue.
So this is a long story, but there was a economist at WVU, Russ Sobel, who did that sort of analysis. And then when I was a reporter here, I did an interview with him, kind of rebutting some parts of his analysis and asking questions about it. He got a little heated.
He made him cry, Scott.
Well, he didn't cry. He kind of yelled. But anyway, it was this big thing. But I think this is an extremely good question. And let's agree on some like doppelganger counties. Grundy County, Virginia, is in the very, very southwest tip of Virginia. It is very mountainous. It's extremely similar to, say, McDowell County. And then you look at things like the poverty rate. You look at the median income, the unemployment rate. They're really similar. I will say it's not quite as bad. McDowell County is one of the poorest counties in America. But Grundy County isn't very far behind. You do the same analysis with like Highland County, which is in the sort of the mountainous part of western Virginia, and Pendleton County. And you see, again, Highland County might be slightly ahead in some of these, but not very far. Look at Winchester versus Martinsburg. Mm-hmm. And not a ton of difference between the two. So I don't know. I kind of come down on the side of there's a minor, pretty negligible effect of state government over time. That I think that the culture and maybe geography and these other forces are much stronger. And so we spend a lot of our energy debating on this show, for example, minor changes in state policy, when really maybe the bigger issue is these cultural and geographic and other issues that are much bigger than state government.
Look at Eastern Kentucky. I mean, it's obviously very different from the more affluent parts and probably it's not seeing a lot of benefit from that. I mean, I would say it's more economic than cultural.
How so?
Well, just so much of West Virginia is owned and controlled by many out-of-state corporations and interests. A lot of our natural resources get shipped away every day, whether through pipelines or barges or coal trucks or trains.
The coal curse argument.
Well, the resource curse. I mean, it's been documented. in a lot of different countries.
What do you think about all this, Lori?
Yeah, Virginia is similar to a lot of states, and West Virginia doesn't have this dynamic nearly as much, where there's a wealthy part of the state. In Virginia's case, it's Northern Virginia, the D.C. suburbs. And then the rest of the state, it benefits in a way from that because, I would suspect that, for example, Grundy County, Virginia, which you just mentioned, has maybe their roads are in better shape than McDowell County across the state line. And you can attribute that to just Virginia having more resources, having that wealthy tax base. Some of the wealthiest counties in the nation are up there in Northern Virginia. But then you also have this weird dynamic where that, I grew up in not a really poor part of the state, but a rural part of the state. And there was always a lot of resentment, this feeling that we pay our taxes and it just goes to build these highways in places that we don't live. And actually, we did see a little bit of that in the road bond debate, but there isn't such a clear wealthy part of the state versus poor part of the state that may be developing more here. You kind of escape that. And if the two had been together, I would think the tension would have not gotten better over the year. The tension that led the two to separate, I think, would have probably gotten worse.
And that tension existed, long before the Civil War. People who lived in this part of the state really felt underrepresented. I'm sure that would still be the case. And again, if you're in a really isolated, poor coalfield part of Virginia, you probably don't have a lot of political clout. Whereas at least here, you're a little bit closer to the sources of power and influence.
The other thing that we get by being an independent state is you receive certain things just because you're a state. You get two senators, for example. You get electoral votes. You get certain programs out of Washington and more money than if you're just a part of the state, if you're an independent state. And so, those things come into play too. Of course, if we were still part of Virginia, then we wouldn't have this awful Western Virginia, West Virginia confusion that goes on anytime you leave the region. So that would be useful.
Well, that I think is, if I could go back and change one thing or advise the people who are making the decisions, I would say maybe you want to pick a different name. And I know that's probably a really controversial thing to say, but something like, what was it, Vandalia? We wouldn't have that same weird confusion.
I could live with Vandalia in 1863.
I don't know why we didn't go with that.
I would have been a good Republican in 1863, too. Let me just say that for the record.
Because the Republicans were radical in 1863.
Well, it's not too late. So I looked into this, and West Virginia actually could go ahead and change its name. It would probably require the state constitution to be changed, which is a big deal, but... Rhode Island actually tried to do this recently, just a few years ago. The Rhode Island is actually Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. That's the official name of the state. Mm-hmm. People wanted to drop the plantations bit because it's, plantations doesn't sound so great. They actually had a ballot, a referendum on whether to do this, and it failed. It failed pretty clearly.
The elephant in the room is not being an island too, right?
So this is my favorite referendum story in West Virginia. It's all you need to know is there is a place in West Virginia called the Mud River. Rick, you probably know it very well.
I know it quite well, yes.
Upstream from the Mud River, the sort of the source of the Mud River is Lincoln County. And they built a dam. And, of course, they called that the Upper Mud Dam and Upper Mud Lake. And, I was a vista in Lincoln County at the time. And some of the good people there who wanted to encourage tourism decided that we should rename this something more, beautiful and inspiring. Laurel Lake was one of the options. Or since Chuck Yeager is from Lincoln County, West Virginia, Yeager Lake. And so those were some of the options put forward. There's a referendum. And by a 3-1 margin, people voted to keep it Upper Mud Lake.
History counts.
Yeah, people don't want people
you don't
messing.
Like change. Yep.
So West Virginia is going to remain West Virginia,
well,
I think, for a long time.
Think of everything that would have to change. The university, the Flying WV logo, country roads.
Almost Heaven.
Wood Virginia.
Vandalia. Yeah. It doesn't. It's hard. You can do it. But
a lot of people say that song is actually really not about West Virginia.
It's about like a 20-mile strip, maybe.
Shenandoah River is mostly, but not entirely, Virginia, so... For once, we got the credit for Virginia in that song, right? they're basically talking about Western Virginia, but because West Virginia makes for a better line in the song, I think we got to appropriate what's really Virginia's scenery there.
Right. So Virginia really has the grievance over the song.
They probably want to join us. You
know? Yeah. Why are we talking about joining them? Why don't they join us? Yeah.
But if the states were united, then that part of Virginia wouldn't be Western Virginia. It would really be Central Virginia. Western Virginia would be like Parkersburg.
Yeah, good point. And almost having Central Virginia just doesn't work as well.
So comparing, contrasting Virginia and West Virginia, like Civil War, Virginia, capital of the Confederacy, West Virginia seceded from the Confederacy. Segregation here, but African Americans could always vote. Like Carter G. Woodson, Booker T. Washington made some effort to get here and started to get their education here. In the labor movement, you know, the United Mine Workers was racially integrated from the beginning. And I've got a funny quote. There was someone from Virginia who went to McDowell County in about 1912 or 13, and he wrote a pamphlet called The Sodom and Gomorrah of Today. And he was just mortified because in West Virginia, God forbid, they didn't have Jim Crow in transportation, which meant that black people rode with ladies, and he was just horrified by that. And he was terrified that black police officers could arrest white people. And so you want to hear a little quote from that pamphlet? "One curse to the Republican Party in this state is their opposition to the Jim Crow law. It is a national disgrace that the Negro is permitted to ride in coaches with white ladies. Their presence is very objectionable and repulsive to any white person with any degree of refinement." And again, he was just horrified about the whole police thing. And the thought, too, that where prostitution existed, there was no Jim Crow line in certain places. So that's one cultural difference between Virginia and West Virginia 100 years ago.
You know, it's funny. When we start talking about this, you know, the differences, we immediately go to the fact that Virginia is this wealthier state. But you know what? There's more to life than money. And these ideas of cultural differences are really interesting, which goes to geography, settlement, things like that. You know, who came here? What's the difference? And I'll ask you this question. What do you think is the main cultural difference between Virginians as a whole, if you have to stereotype, and then West Virginians? And then where does that come from?
I've said this before, and we actually got a very nice reader emailing us and pushing back. But to me, the biggest difference will always be, and I stand by what I said, is the average Virginian feels perfectly warmly toward Virginia, but does not center his or her identity around being Virginian. And I think you're much more likely to find people who do that in West Virginia. Are there Virginians who love Virginia, who are very excited about it? Sure. Are there West Virginians who don't, you know, care at all about West Virginia? Sure. But on average, I think that is a huge difference. And I think, you know, you ask to what can you attribute that? I think Virginia is just a state where that you have more people who don't have deep roots there who are coming and going. It's more kind of like the average eastern seaboard state in that way. West Virginia, people have deeper roots here generally, again, on average. And that plays out in how they feel about the state and how it's a core part of their identity.
So the Confederate part of my family is from Tazewell County, just across from the state line from McDowell. I spent a lot of time there as a kid growing up, and one impression I had that really struck me, and I wasn't that old when it got in Virginia, you had a sense that people really thought that there were some better families or better people. I had more of a sense of status and hierarchy, whereas where I grew up, I mean, it was all much more sort of egalitarian, more equal in culture and things like that. The other thing I noticed, like when I was growing up, here, if you called a friend of yours a liar or an SOB, nobody got mad because it was just assumed that's what we were. But if you called someone over there that, they took it really seriously.
I will say, I'm moving to Richmond, which I think if you look at a map is pretty much due east of here. I don't think the latitude is much different, but it has a much more southern feel. And, you know, I think that speaks to it being the capital of the Confederacy in that history. And I have been told that there is some lingering sense of what, you know, what Rick was mentioning of, you know, my family is one of the first families of Richmond kind of thing. I don't think that's a huge deal anymore. But I think, you know, in recent years that has lingered, and there probably is still some of that. I was told that, you know, there are certain certain neighborhoods that are too new for these old families. You have to live in these certain old neighborhoods that have the big tall trees, and you know they would never live out there in the suburbs, kind of thing.
Awesome. There are a lot of freedom movements that have strong roots in West Virginia. The labor movement, the CIO, which the industrial unions grew out of, the United Mine Workers, Black Lung Movement, Miners for Democracy. You know, there's until recently, we had a pretty good history here.
So, yay or nay, should West Virginia rejoin Virginia as a state?
Well, if they did, then I would still be able to be on the front porch, right? Because we would all be Virginians. But then again,
assuming
West
Scott
Virginia
wins the Game of Thrones and takes over Virginia Public Broadcasting.
And just
Glenn Glexner, watch out, buddy.
Charleston in general would be, I would think, pretty hard hit by, isn't the state government the biggest employer here in the city?
Yeah, I'm totally against it. Not just my personal job, but yeah.
Divide it up even more.
Rick, you got the last word then.
Mark me a no on that one too. But it's a special edition of the front porch, right? Today we're going to shift over to that part of it.
Yeah, let's shift over to the special edition of the front porch, which is, Lori, you're going to be on from time to time from distant Virginia, but you won't be with us every week from now on. And so we want to be able to say thank you. You didn't have to do this. You took a risk too. You didn't get paid anything at all, period. But every single week you came here with interesting ideas and perspectives and research, and appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
I have a little presentation to make, Lori. This is some goat milk soap.
Oh, my goodness. That
my wife made from honeysuckle, our goat. So.
Oh, my goodness. I wish this was TV so everyone could see. This is soap. It's got a
leaf.
It's
really good
on
for your skin. It's really good for.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Rick.
Mm. Better thank Anna. She doesn't know either. She's on the road today.
And thank you for the eggs over the years. My family has enjoyed the fresh eggs with the wonderful orange yolks that my husband thinks there's something wrong with them. No, it's been a thrill and a pleasure and just so much fun to be here with you guys, and I will miss you terribly.
So talk a little bit about maybe two or three of the episodes that you'll remember.
I loved the interview that we did with the midwives back when I was pregnant. That was a lot of fun for me. And then for some reason, school consolidation sticks in my mind. That's the topic that we've returned to a couple times. And Rick and I kind of agree. And I find it really interesting and kind of a uniquely West Virginia topic.
And you saw where the state Supreme Court said that the state school board could reject the Nicholas County consolidation. So.
Yeah, I think as we expected. I think the one that really sticks out in my mind, and this is another of our favorite topics, is the topic of nutrition and food. And I did the very first one that we did on that. I remember saying, put butter on your broccoli and roast it. And I stand by that. If there's one thing that I hope that the people will remember that I've said, eat broccoli with butter and even cheese if you want, because you're going to be eating broccoli. And do that instead of French fries. So that's my
good
final
point.
Parting wisdom. But we've done so much. I mean, we've interviewed people. We've had really good discussions between ourselves. And, you know, even when we've returned to topics, I think we've had a fresh spin on things. And I will be interested to see what you guys do with this thing.
I have a feeling of dread about that, but let's leave that for another time. We're so lucky to have had you and some of your caliber here, and you're going to do great things in Virginia as well, including probably eventually getting the states to merge. I see that happening in my future. I'll get ready for it.
Well, when we moved my husband into his little temporary apartment, we took this little tour of the canal area in the downtown, and it turns out the canal is called the James River and Kanawha Canal, although they pronounce it Kanawha.
Are you kidding me?
It's crazy. It was so weird. My husband and I were just looking at each other like, what is this?
But yeah, if you want to fit in, you better say it their way. We'll give you permission.
I learned quickly when I got here that I had to, you know, and it's true. But something in me is just going to rebel at saying Kanawha. I'm sorry.
So here's the weird, like, I live near the James River Turnpike. So it's the old relic of one of the early roads that went across the...
So the plan was to actually connect the James River through a canal and then that turnpike to get to the Kanawha River to move things west. And George Washington, they claim, was the guy who had the big idea. And it never actually got completed because cutting the canal was just so labor intensive. But the beginning of it is still there in downtown Richmond.
And the road's still there, parts of it anyway.
The Kanawha Canal.
All right, so I'm going to ask you for a favor then. Would you mind closing out the show today? Are you okay with doing that?
Do you want me to sing?
Oh, you could. I didn't know
that was
on the menu.
It depends on how you want me to do it.
It's a normal close would be fine.
Okay, this is Laurie Lynn. I'm signing off as a regular front porcher for the final time. Rick, did you have a Bible quote this week this time?
I have an Emily Dickinson verse, which is almost as good as the Bible. Parting is all we know of heaven and all we need to know of hell.
Thank you. That is very appropriate.
I was trying to think of a Dylan lyric, but all his goodbye lyrics are kind of mean. Like, I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You know, it just wouldn't have been a good bye at the end of it.
We'll stick with Emily Dickinson. All right. For Scott Finn and Rick Wilson, I'm Laurie Lynn, and that's The Front Porch.
Well, it ain't no use to sit down and wonder why, babe. You don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It'll never do somehow. Well, your rooster crows at the break of dawn. Look out your window and I'll be gone. But you're the reason I'm traveling on. So don't think twice, it's alright. It ain't no use in it turning on your light, babe. The light I never know. Well, it ain't no use in it turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Still, I wish there was something you would do or say.